Hello and welcome to Pod Save the King, the podcast which aims to guide Britain into the 21st century through the use of discussion and debate. I'm Alison Bally and beside me is Connor Stanislawskis, great-nephew, co-host and fellow historian. This episode will be exploring our society theme, discussing my personal experiences of being a female in society and current issues of the day, including misogyny in Parliament. Remember, you can listen to us on a walk, before a talk, in the park, or if you prefer, in the dark, on your preferred podcast app or website. So, I am a woman of a certain age who was at school during the 1970s. And I think even then, and this is post-60s feminism movement, I think there was still an expectation that females' role in society was predominantly in the household. And the reason I say that is that subjects at school, such as domestic science, were still predominantly a female subject. We did have two men in the class, as I recall, but they really didn't want to do anything else. So for them, domestic science was a good bet. But what was interesting about domestic science in those times was that it included how to look after a baby.
Right.
So we would learn how much formula milk would be required for a baby. We learned how to look after a baby, and believe it or not, Connor, and you won't believe this, how to wash up.
Really? Oh, dear.
So that included, so I know this. It makes me laugh a bit now, but I know that what they said. Now, you think to yourself, why on earth would they demonstrate or feel it's important how to wash up? Just seems so ridiculous. I can't believe I know this. But you start with your water, your soapy water, and you do your glasses first because they're the least dirty items.
Wow.
I bet you didn't know that,
did you? I didn't know that.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, please go ahead.
What's crazy is this lesson was taught in the female wing of the Hitler Youth, and we're teaching it in 1970s Britain.
Yeah.
That's completely ludicrous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, please jump in at any time. The other lesson that was very female dominated was sewing as well. How to sew clothes, how to mend clothes. I really feel like I'm talking like I've lived in the 17th century. Even talking about it now just seems so ridiculous, so far removed from my experience of society today. And would you believe that girls weren't allowed to wear trousers?
Really?
So even in the depths of snow, and we all walked to school and walked back from school, we'd be carrying a really heavy basket for our cookery lesson with all the ingredients, and we'd have to wear a skirt and socks.
That's unbelievable.
There was no sex education at all. We had a girls' session. So it really was, even in those days, still very much teaching the girls that their role was in the household.
And this is, you know, this is the 70s. This is very, very recent in regards to,
is post women's lib.
This is completely unbelievable.
Yeah. But that just shows the attitudes of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever do domestic science or cookery at school?
Well, we studied food tech. I didn't choose it as a GCSE, but I mean it wasn't solely dominated by women. There was potentially even more boys in it than there were women.
That's interesting, isn't it? How it shows how society has evolved.
Yeah, it wasn't like how to cook. Well, obviously, of course, it was how to cook, but you know, it was nothing like what you're explaining. And I think it's crazy that, you know, this was going on in the 70s. We had our first female prime minister in this year.
Yeah, we did.
Which is crazy that this is going on at the same time. You know, we have a female prime minister and, you know, there's still barriers between boys and girls. It's completely Bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose one of the good things was they did teach mechanics, which all the boys did, which I suppose did serve to teach them a kind of trade at that time. I did do woodwork, so I do know how to do a dovetail joint, but it was still very much, you know, there wasn't much interaction between the females and the males.
Yeah.
It was the girls on the one side and it was boys on the other. And there was very little interaction between the two.
And I think we discussed this, didn't we, in our last podcast, where, you know, now we're currently seeing more friend groups mixed with male and female.
Yes, we are. And when I look back, I think I was subject to what would be called, I don't want to put too much emphasis on the term sexual harassment, but light sexual harassment. So, yes, I did get my bottom pinched. And I remember as a young woman dreading having to pass workmen because they'd say things to you.
Yeah.
And I used to be so embarrassed.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was a very young woman, and it seemed like, I don't know, men seemed alien to me, completely alien.
I'm not sure now if you walk past, you know, work sites and builders sites, there's actually signs on the fences saying we do not permit sexism or misogyny, etc. So I think that's a step forward, but I'm sure it still does happen. I'm sure that, you know, that is the case. Maybe not as prominent as the 70s, but I'm sure many women have experienced the same.
I think what I experienced was fortunately very, very mild. But we've got examples today of date rape that was never, ever. I don't think it was even thought of, available. So even though we've got all these laws and progressive ways in society, it almost seems the degree of violence has increased.
Yeah.
And the degree of people being coerced and controlled is very, very worrying in what we perceive to be a progressive society. And we were just looking at some of the figures, weren't we, that the police recorded 1.5 million incidents of domestic abuse in England to the year March 2022. And the vast majority of domestic violence defendants are first-time offenders.
Wow.
Also, police recorded 1.5 million incidents of domestic violence against women. And that was just in the year up to March 2022. And by all accounts, the vast majority of domestic violence defendants, and you might be surprised by this, are actually first-time offenders. And unfortunately, most of those cases end with a dismissal of all charges. So we haven't got a good domestic violence reduction policy, and these people can get away with it because they know they'll never get charged and put into prison.
It's unbelievable that this is still.
So we need
society.
Some laws to strengthen that. But you know, just another facet, just kind of thinking of my own experience, that I would, throughout my life, most definitely have trusted every policeman that I ever met.
Yeah.
Now, I understand there's about, I think it's in the Scottish police force, there's about 400 cases of police being investigated. And we know some recent cases of really terrible behaviour.
Yeah.
And that I find very frightening.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, who can women trust at this point?
I know. And it's... if I was pulled over by the policeman, I would trust him.
Yeah.
And now it sows that seed of doubt that the vast majority of policemen are good people,
yeah.
do a good job. But it does start to sow that seed of doubt into people's minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think that could be somewhat resolved if more women join the force?
Well, I think some police women and some women in the army are having a terrible time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we have to kind of address that. I think the Met is still a law unto itself.
Yeah.
And I think he's still got lots and lots of issues to resolve. So it needs to be a whole society change, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. So, do you want to move on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So now we'd like to talk a bit about, women in politics and the sexism and misogyny that has been experienced by senior female politicians. So, Angela Rayner, the deputy leader of the Labour Party, she's a massive inspiration of mine. The kind of person that you want representing you. You know, she grew up on a council estate. She had a first child at 16. All these, very common things she's gone through. She's relied on the systems that are there to help. You know, she's relied on the benefit system and council houses and things like that. So, a massive inspiration. But in 2022, last year, Angela Rayner was a victim of misogyny and sexism within the House of Commons. In The Guardian, the headline is, Angela Rayner hits out at sexism and misogyny in politics. So in 2022, a newspaper reported that she, and I'm quoting here, crosses and uncrosses her legs during PMQs to distract Boris Johnson, who was the Prime Minister at the time. Now, that is unbelievable. I think it's quite perverted, really, of the writer of this, that he's pointed out this story that is obviously untrue.
But it's not even a story. It should never have been published.
No, it shouldn't have. Definitely not.
And there's no retribution for these kind of acts, is there?
No, definitely not.
Of these incidents that occur, and there should be.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It should never even enter that man's mind
to
even reference something like that.
I completely
it's
agree
despicable.
With you. So cabinet ministers, including Boris Johnson himself and cross-party MPs from across the Commons, have condemned this claim. And it was the Mail on Sunday that reported this. Caroline Noakes, who was the chair of the House of Commons Women and Equalities Committee at the time, she called this, and I'm quoting this, a dirty little story. So the paper reported that Angela Rayner, that this unnamed senior Conservative had said that Angela Rayner, and I'm quoting here, mischievously suggested... He mischievously suggested that Labour's deputy leader deploys what is called a fully clothed parliamentary equivalent of Sharon Stone's infamous scene in the 1992 film Basic Instinct. Now, what do you get from that?
It's hard to put into words what you feel about that because... I think what angers me is that, one, he made such a reference. Two, his editor thought it was newsworthy. The Mail on Sunday is not your gutter press. You wouldn't normally put them in that category, but they certainly hit it this time. And, there are no repercussions. People come out and condemn it, but nothing actually physically happens to the person that wrote it or to the newspaper.
Yeah.
So they've got away with it.
Yeah, and the article quoted the Conservative MP saying, and this is what the Conservative MP supposedly said, she knows she can't compete with Boris's Oxford Union debate and training, but she has other skills which he lacks. She has admitted as such when enjoying drinks with us on the Commons Terrace.
It shows that misogyny is rife.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that this person is
unnamed. We don't know who he is. As far as we're concerned, how do we know this isn't the Prime Minister? How do we know that this isn't, the Chancellor or anybody? It's wrong that these people have... a prominent say in what goes on in this country. This person should be named and shamed.
Absolutely agree.
And should be banned from standing yep. at any election in the future.
Absolutely, because it just perpetuates misogyny, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's completely disgusting.
I think many of the female MPs have experienced oh, this. Yeah. You know, when they're on social media, is trolling the right word? Is
trolling, that, yeah.
Trolling.
Yeah,
does yeah. that mean that you call somebody?
Yeah, basically like bullying people online. Yeah, yeah.
Because they've had death threats, they've had rape threats. And really, I think it brings into question the whole social media oh, platform, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that they're not regulated. No. And you can say and do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So Angela Rayner hit back at this, and she says, "I stand accused of a ploy to distract the helpless PM by being a woman having legs and wearing clothes." Rayner said she accused Johnson's allies of, and I quote, "resorting to spreading desperate, perverted smears in their doomed attempts to save his skin. He and his cheerleaders clearly have a big problem with women in public life. They should be ashamed of themselves. I won't be letting their vile lies deter me. Their attempts to harass and intimidate me will fail," she said. Now, a strong response from Angela Rayner, which is, I'm sure, supported by
absolutely, absolutely. Everybody. So what is perpetuating this in society still? Do we blame these reality shows? Do you think they create more division? Do they show the division between men and women?
Well, potentially. But, I mean, if you think about it, this has been going on throughout history. And what I want to know is, what's the underlying issue? Because what was the, in, you know, the early 1900s to the early 2000s, what was the, in the early 1700s to now, what was the, in the early 1800s, what is it a common thing that's always there that creates this disunity between men and women, that creates this kind of attack on women?
Well, I think I could say maybe it's a man's world, and men make the rules to suit themselves.
True, yeah. In some
we
cases.
Have had individuals, female, strong individuals in positions of power, but they're normally in the minority.
Yeah.
So the impact they can make is much reduced.
Yeah.
So maybe we would see a real sea change if the majority of politicians were females.
Yeah, well, what I noticed when I was studying in politics the other week, we looked at gender, and the Labour Party in 2019 had a majority of female MPs, but I think it was like by 2 or 3 than male MPs, which I think is amazing, amazing step forward.
Has that been maintained, do we know, to the present day?
I believe so, yeah, because not much changes throughout the election, throughout general elections, yeah. Does it? So I'm assuming they have the same number. But it's also amazing that, you know, Angela Rayner could well be the next deputy leader of the Labour Party. Yeah. And, deputy prime minister.
Yeah.
And she also could well be the next prime minister yeah. and the next,
and there are some females round her as well, aren't there, that's holding key positions?
Yeah, Lisa Nandy.
Yeah.
I think she's shadow minister for Levelling Up, is it?
Or, yeah. And what about the Chancellor?
Chancellor of the Exchequer, shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves. I mean, what a position to hold.
Yeah.
So Starmer is very lucky going into the next election, surrounded by some powerful women that have managed to overcome so many social barriers. And speaking of powerful women, suppose it's right that we do pay tribute to Betty Boothroyd, right?
Yeah.
She passed away a couple of weeks ago from when this podcast will be released. And that's, you know, she was
a shining beacon.
Absolutely, yeah. The first Speaker of the House of Commons to be a female. I mean, good on her.
Yeah.
You know.
Devoted her life.
Completely, yeah.
To the cause.
Yeah.
So, just going back to the social media thing, because it is about our society today, isn't it? It's a new phenomena.
Yeah.
So what do you think about these reality shows? Do you think they help the relationships between male and females. I'm thinking in particular about Love Island.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because
what is it about that?
Love Island, it's basically, for the listeners that maybe don't know as well, it's basically a show where so many, a similar amount of men, single women, are basically flown off to this villa, right? And basically, the moral of the thing is they couple with each other and the aim is to find love. Or is it to find love? You know, a lot of people now go on it to make money, go on it to become famous. Don't get me wrong.
But why is that a value? Why is that valuable TV?
It's what we... I'm not sure. I'll be honest. I'm not exactly sure. But
it has tremendous ratings. It's incredibly popular. So it kind of makes me think, what are people?
Yeah.
I mean, am I right in saying that there's some quite intimate moments that's televised?
There are very intimate moments that are televised.
Oh, my God. So it's soft porn?
I mean, it's under duvets, is what I'm aware of.
I don't know why that could be of interest to anybody.
People are interested in the show. And, you know, people do find love recently. You know, the boxer Tommy Fury, Tyson Fury's brother?
Oh, yeah.
He went on it in, I think it was 2018 or 19.
Right.
He found love with a girl called Molly May, is what I'm aware of. And they've recently had a baby together. Right. So some people do find love.
I wonder what the percentage is of true love versus let's pretend to be in love. Let's pretend to be together so that we can go on OK Magazine, endorse products and make a lot of money. What a value are they adding to society?
Yeah, well...
They're not doctors, they're not nurses, and I'm really sorry for the fans of Love Island. I know I'm vastly in the minority and it's an incredibly popular show, but I'm just throwing in... Playing devil's advocate, just posing some questions.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most educated when it comes to reality TV shows like Love Island and others as such. But you know, it is an interesting thing to discuss.
Do people talk about it at college?
Not necessarily at college, but you know, they're aware of it. A lot of people do watch it.
Yeah. So will there not be a debate about whether Lucy will stay with John, or does that not really?
I'm assuming in some cases there will be. I know a few families actually watch it together.
Families?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God!
It's quite crazy.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I can't. That would not have happened.
No. Well, basically, it's like younger families, more of such. Which is quite an interesting insight.
I hope the children of an appropriate age that's watching it.
I'm sure they will be, hopefully. But yeah, it is interesting. And potentially, does this add to the kind of misogyny and sexism in society? Maybe so, maybe not. Let us know what you think. Our email is podsavetheking22@gmail.com. Our Instagram is pod.save.the.king. So do you want to add anything? Or?
I think we can... There's lots of things we could talk about, like supermodel size zero, the pressure on women, anti-aging products, which is a ridiculous term in itself. So, but maybe we'll save that for another. But absolutely invite views from what other people think. Is there more pressure on women to have that model look, that robotic, Botoxed?
Yeah.
First.
And as much as we'd like to hear from women, we'd also like to hear from men. What are your experiences with this? You know, because...
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, I've given a few of my points of view, but I can't represent the majority of men. So please...
Neither can I.
Please do get involved and give us a message. We do appreciate when we hear back of listeners.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. That's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from him.